American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, September 24th, 2007. And you are listening to Newsreel, the Wild Global Sit-Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media! Taking a stand, for free speech today. And just by listing and distributing this program, you are too. And let me tell you, I'm taking all kinds of spam. Holy crap! Do I ever get spam at my email address, which is newsreel@radradio.com? Oh my God, the amount of spam I get in there is just unfreaking believable. But you can follow up on these and all my news stories and everything I basically tell you today by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, and Pure Rock Radio, and places where freedom still rings loud and proud, and anybody wants to stand up and say, hey, I'm broadcasting Newsreel. And if you'd like to do that, you can, only thing I ask is that you tell me so that I can put it on the show so that you get the props you deserve for distributing this program. Let's get straight into some feedback. Dear Sean, got some feedback here. Feedback is good. Dear Sean, a bit of follow-up on the father of all bombs story, the FOAB, not to be confused with Moab, which is a Masonic thing. But anyway, the comparison to a nuclear bomb is entirely FUD on Russia's part. Well, I'm feeling good about that. The estimated yield of a FOAB is only 44 tons of TNT. Well, okay, good. That's a big bomb. It's like a daisy cutter from Vietnam. While this is indeed massive and likely to be the biggest conventional bomb made, the Hiroshima blast measured 13,000 tons, a.k.a. 13 kilotons, which now we have megatons, which is a million tons of TNT versus 1,000 tons of TNT, which is what Hiroshima was. Which when you look at what it did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, some pretty scary shit going on there. So that's only 0.3% of Hiroshima's blast power, and that was a tiny, tiny nuke. The average nuclear warhead in the United States is estimated around 1 to 2 megatons. Holy crap. So no, this isn't a nuke replacement. What it does do is vaporize soft targets, the fleshy ones, while not doing too much infrastructure damage. Even though your troops are walking into burnt-out shells, they'll be mostly standing and usable. It is still a big bomb. Just informing you of some FUD from G-Man. Well, thank you very much, G-Man. It's important that we keep track of these kinds of things because, you know, the Russian newspapers, sometimes it was reported at being, you know, really, really crazy. But what if it wasn't, you know? I mean, I'm glad. It's kind of sad that I found out that this, you know, I'm happy this bomb isn't as bad as it was. Because if it had nuke power, nuke levels, devastation without any fallout, what would that mean? What would that mean on a global level? What would that mean to the balance of power? I think we'd be just a couple of ticks closer on the doomsday clock to getting to that whole Twilight 2000 scenario. Hopefully that Twilight 2000 reference wasn't too far gone for you guys. But let me tell you, you know, it's frightening. It's frightening when you get out there and you see what people are doing now. There was a conference held a while back. Somebody sent me this great piece of info related on this about the singularity. You know, they got this idea that the singularity is coming. And this is a whole idea that I've talked about in some of my ideas and stories with Afternow and whatnot, where essentially the internet, they don't really talk about it. My whole concept is that the internet and server and everything kind of becomes this massive consciousness. But they've kind of given it this singularity. I might be the only one who's ever talked about server being, you know, the global consciousness of the internet and all this kind of stuff. I haven't heard of anybody else talking about it. The fellow who did Appleseed and Ghost of the Shell, who's like a hero of mine, and I can never ever pronounce his name, Shiro Matsumune is his name. And dude's brilliant, you know. Like a lot of stuff that's going along in his gray matter. But, yeah, it's interesting when you think about what the future's got coming down the pipe. So anyway, let's get into some more. Getting back to that Singularity thing. Go check it out. Singularity Summit, I think it's called. The Singularity Summit, Singularity Conference. See if you can do a Google search on that. Some good audio in there. Hey, Sean. Been trying to catch up with all the newsreels. Couldn't really find the time to listen with this new schedule going on. Oh, yeah. Sorry about your iPack. That sucks, man. Yes. But apparently Fat Ninja may have some spare iPack parts kicking around so that I can get back into the digital age with my handy-dandy PDA. Anyway, was skimming through your live journal, couldn't help but notice that you guys seen some kind of kick-ass acronym. Yes, we do need kind of a kick-ass acronym. So I got one sort of popped into my head a few days ago. PIRATE, which is Pair 8, P-A-I-R-A-T-E. People Against Information, Regulation, and Totalitarian Enterprises. You know, I used to come up with stuff like this in high school all the time. Like it? Just one of my random ideas. By all means, go ahead, spread it around if you want. It's all about spreading the virus. Keep it, Wogs. Samurai. Well, you know what there, Street Sam? I gotta tell ya, I like your little acronym there. I think you should start your own organization, and I think you should call it Pirate and make it a WOG organization. Or if not, Samurai, somebody else. But me, well, my dance card's kind of full. There's a bunch of people who want to get some After Now stuff out of me, and I want to give it to them. So I'm not going to take on any new projects until I wrap up some of the projects I'm already working on. Thanks for calling. But it's a great acronym nonetheless. Dear Mr. Kennedy. Oh, you know you're in shit when you get called Mr. Hey, Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Anderson. I'm not sure if you read this one yet, but the URL pretty much says all that I don't have to explain. This is from a caption from the article. Mark Vogel was found dead in his Dortmund, Germany apartment. His body was draped in spider webs with more than 200 spiders. Several snakes, thousands of termites, and a gecko were feasting on his corpse. I don't think the termites were actually feasting on his corpse. Mind you, it's a great visual to have all these animals, you know, kind of hanging out on the body, you know, eating, which is okay. You know, and I don't think that, last time I checked, I don't think geckos eat meat. I don't really think that termites eat meat, but, you know, it's a nice piece of sensationalism. He gets back to the letter here. Now, this brings me to an opinion question for Newsreel. Well, I'm good at those. Got lots of opinions. Just like assholes, everybody has one, and they all stink. Should people be allowed to own dangerous pets taken from nature? No, I think we should own dangerous pets taken from the netherworld. And if living in close quarters, i.e. apartment, should such people have to disclose their dangerous pets? Oddly, the story reminds me of some rockstra with lost snake, and the name eludes me. Okay, I have no idea what he's talking about. Reminds me of some rock star with a lost snake, which name eludes me, but I think you know who I'm talking about. Perhaps you can refresh my memory. I think you might have misspelled that. If there was a rock star who lost a snake, it might have been Alice Cooper. It might have been Ozzy Osbourne. I'm guessing snakes are pretty popular pets. I could be going too old school. I don't even know if anybody listens to Alice Cooper anymore. Maybe I'm the last guy. Anyway, by the way, thanks for the stuff that you do, private information, which I can't reveal. Yours truly, this guy. Actually, I can give his name out. Sure, Gluco. So, hey, Gluco, yes, I do think that people should be allowed to own pets taken from nature. This is a prime example of Darwinian downwards pressure. If you are an idiot, I believe that you should be allowed to terminate yourself if you so choose. Do I think we should give idiots guns, cyanide pills, guillotines, anything they want? You should be able to own it, thereby removing people from the gene pool. I mean, honestly now, wouldn't it just be better if this guy wants to check, I mean, as long as he's not a danger to anybody else. Now, if his spiders got out and, like, started, you know, killing the neighborhood kids, well, that would be bad. You know what I mean? That would be bad. I mean, what's to stop? Let's say he's got dangerous spiders and he uses them to attack. Well, okay, you know, this is where you start getting into drawing the lines. But I think that people should be able to own whatever they want pretty much as pets. You know, it's kind of a weird one because if you say, well, okay, what if we go the other way and we start doing, you know, well, you can't have this as a pet and you can't have that as a pet or an endangered species as a pet. Like, I don't think you should keep endangered species as pets. Probably poisonous animals, not so good to be kept as pets, I'd have to say. Is it venomous? Yes, probably not a good idea to have as a pet. I would say maybe put some size restrictions on there. You live in an apartment. Maybe an elephant isn't such a good idea. You live in an apartment. Maybe, you know, crocodiles aren't such a great idea. You know, things like this. But again, you know, you got to be careful because if you start saying, you know, applying for licenses to buy animals, you know, well, pretty not too far off. You're going to get into people doing, you know, the evolution of breed specific legislation, only they're going to go out of a slightly different angle. You know, where they're going to say, well, you have to apply for a permit to own a puppy and all this kind of stuff, which I don't think is really necessary. But hey, you know, that's just my opinion. A lot of people have them. That one would happen to be mine. I got a couple. Sort yourselves out. So let's get into these sort yourselves out. Sort yourself out is a section of the show where I give out advice. Even though, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not qualified to give out advice. I'm just going to give it to you straight from the hip. Now, a lot of people are not going to like some of the advice I give out. Now, a lot of people get really, really pissed off with me. And believe me, I hear about it in the email. But you know what? Hey, they asked me for my advice. I'm going to give them my advice. Okay, so here it goes. Dear Sean, heard your rant on one... Sorry, let me try this again. I just heard your rant on who one should marry. Unlike Team Kennedy, I didn't marry a teammate, nor did I choose what I wanted... chose who I'm taking with me. Ah, I see. So, because normally I have the same statement of, you know, make sure you choose two things. Where am I going? Who's coming with me? Don't get the order messed up. Okay, but he didn't marry his teammate, and he, you know, wants to, you know, I guess he's in a bad situation. I've been married for 7 years, not too far myself. I've been married 8 years. I have 3 kids. Ouch. Been busy. And I resent my wife. Okay, I've been married 7 years, 3 kids, resent my wife. After confronting her with my resentment, I learned that she resents me too. Well, now what? Well, you know, well, if you tell somebody you resent them after 7 years and cranking out 3 kids, then yeah, obviously I think they're going to be saying, well, I resent you too. There's no real rocket science in on that one. And the question is, of course, now what? Well, okay, hang on. You've been with this lady for 7 years. 7 years. Furthermore, you know, I'm not too sure what he wants me to say here. She resents me. I resent her. We got 3 kids. Okay, well, we'll see. Now, the trick here is children. Okay, that's really the crux. All right, you've cranked out 3 children. All right, which means that you made a decision to put out 3 kids. You've got 3 fetal, larval human beings who their version of God is you. All right, now, at oldest, the kid's going to be like, well, actually, I can't really say that, but assuming you didn't get married, you got married and then had kids, the maximum ages of these children are 7. Okay, maybe 8. Okay, or something like that. But I would say probably 7 years old is the oldest your child would be. Now, there's 2 schools of thought on this. There's the idea that stay together for the kids, right, which is a pretty nihilistic approach. You know, it's like, well, I hate her, and she hates me, and we're going to be together with the kids, and we're going to be fucking miserable and take our shit out on the kids. And then there's the other notion where I'm going to, you know, break up with her and go live my own life in my own direction, and, you know, maybe I'll be a dad, you know, on the weekends. You know, this is the other side of it. Now, having grown up in a relationship and a family, like my own personal family home life was not that fantastic. Parents used to fight like cats and dogs. They split up a bunch of times. Not really the best scene. Any kid has ever gone through that or gone through the divorce thing, that can be rough. And this is a very personal call. I mean, I'm going off of 2 paragraphs here, okay? So, for me, whenever I make decisions, it's about priorities. All right, it's about priorities. Your priority should be, I don't know what your priority is, but your priority should be your children. This is a default priority. If your priority is not your children, you need to format and reinstall your software so that it is your children. Those children are your responsibility. They will live longer than you will. They are going to be embracing a future which you have brought them into. This is not easy to hear. I know this. This is not an easy thing to hear. Nobody wants to hear the fact that you have a responsibility. Nobody wants to hear the fact that, guess what, Chuckles? You gotta look after your kids. Nobody wants to hear that, but that's the truth. But Like my old man used to say, if all you ever did was tell people the truth, well, buddy, they're going to run when they see you coming. You're going to do what you want to do, but here's what I hope you do. Here's what I hope you do. I hope you make the decision to work on your marriage, because that's what it is. It is a decision. They've all now all but proven that love, that glowy sort of thing, fades after 2 years, unless you do things to keep it fresh. Okay, if you've gotten fat and out of shape, maybe she's gotten fat and out of shape, maybe you should work on yourself. See what you can do to make your relationship better from your angle. Maybe you should see what you could do to format, reinstall, to make your life better and start focusing on other people rather than yourself. Now, I'm not calling you a selfish bastard. That's not what I'm doing. But what I'm suggesting here is that you start living your life for your children, not vicariously through your children, but for your children. Begin reading on things. Read about what it is to be a good parent, what it is to be a good partner, what it is to be an adult, what it means to be in a good relationship. Brian Tracy has a series of audiobooks on BitTorrent. Really, really good stuff. The Science of Self-Confidence is a really good one. It's like a 9-hour, you know, multi-huge thing. I mean, there's lots of these, you know, audiobooks and things like that that are out there provided by Server that you can use to make yourself into a better man, a better father, and a better husband. That would be what I think you should do. That's the hard thing to do. That's what you should do. The easy thing to do is just say, fuck this, I'm bailing, screw you, bitch, I'm taking off, I'm moving to California, and that's it. There's nothing you can do. See you later, bye. But at the end of the day, when the chips are down and you're lying on the road from the car accident, per se, and you have, you know, the blood is flowing from your body and your life is flashing before your eyes at the end of the game, what would you have rather said? Would you have rather have stood up and said, yes, I was there, I was there for these children who I made, you know, that was the hand I got dealt, that's how I played it, did the best I could, oh well. I guess I go to whatever's waiting or not waiting, knowing that. But I would say you got three people depending on you, and your wife, well, hey, welcome to the 20th century, 21st century, she can provide for herself, that's all well and good, blah, 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 but somebody's got to look after these kids. So look after your kids, man. That's my advice for you. Focus on your children, and you'd be surprised how much you can improve your own life if you just do that one simple little thing, which is all important, all encompassing. And if you don't do that, well, kind of puts you in the shit pump category. Another piece of advice. Dear Sean, I suppose you get about 1,500 emails a day asking for advice. Not so much. Not so much. I generally try to keep it under, you know, 200-300. I probably exaggerate, but I need your help with something. Absolutely. I've been a WOG for almost a year now. I love it when people say stuff like that. It's like, I've been a WOG. You know, it's like they get their card and stuff. You know, all it is involved with being a WOG is you say, I am WOG. No method, no guru, no teacher. You are all about self-improvement. Welcome to the war. Anyway, it all started after reading Starship Troopers and listening to the After Now and Newsreel as I drove about the U.S. Very, very good. I had a major impact on my life and my thinking. In all I discovered, I wanted to do something that I almost did years ago, join the military. Okay, fair ball. Now, I'll be the first person to tell you that this... I will be the first person to tell you that this is a bad idea for me. Oh, really? Why is that? However, I really feel I have some kind of duty to myself and my country to serve. My friend and I have debated this issue to infinity, and he's dead set against it, and I can see why. Still, at the end of the day, I had this nagging sense of guilt and personal worthlessness because I don't serve. Very interesting. Very interesting mind share here. And that's my dilemma. I'm writing knowing that you are a wise man, oh gosh, and a veteran. Ooh, I don't like that term. I never saw any action. I was never in combat. I suppose, technically, I was in the military. I did do some stuff. I have a problem with being called a veteran. I suppose, technically, it's true. But whenever I think of veterans, I think of people who've been in combat. And being a war veteran versus a military veteran. I know you don't think one should serve either. I'm writing using a wise man and a veteran, and I know you don't think one should serve either. I just need some advice, maybe some tips on what I can do. Anyway, thanks for taking the time for reading this. I appreciate what you do for all us WOGs. Regards, blah. Okay, well, blah. Here's the deal. You notice I cut out all the names because, you know what? Hey, this is personal stuff. Now, I believe in using the military to get ahead in your life. And a lot of people are like, whoa, Sean, how can you? Whoa, that's pretty mercenary here. No. I owe the Army nothing. You owe the Army nothing. Okay, you got to bear in mind this. You have to look after yourself. You're a citizen of the earth. This is how it is. You can't allow yourself to get wrapped all up in nationalism and flag waving and things like that. Now, this whole thing about learning to serve and choosing to serve, there are many, many, many ways to serve. You could be a doctor and serve. You could be a paramedic and serve. You could join the Peace Corps and quote-unquote serve. There are many ways to serve. So you want to ask yourself, who do I want to serve and what do I want to serve? That's more important. Just serving, you know, well, that's, you know, shit, you do that in tennis, okay? You got to figure out what it is you want to serve. Do you want to be a paramedic? Do you want to save lives? Do you want to serve for the cause of justice? Do you want to join Halliburton and serve the corporate power elite in their bids to take over the earth? Would you like to join the Army and serve your fellow man? Would you like to join the Air Force and serve the Army? What is it that you want to do? And so this is where it's at. Now, the military is a good vehicle, okay, to get you experiences and places. If you're like down on your luck, haven't got a lot of options open to you, you know what I mean? And Walmart's staring you in the face, and McDonald's is staring you in the face, and you think to yourself, you know, I've got a lot to offer. You know, I don't really want to do this for the rest of my life. I need a change. I need to get away. I need to run away and join the circus. The Army might be an option. The Army might be an option. Right now, we're kind of in this crazy desert war where they're trying to take over the planet. So you know what? If you show up and say, I want to serve, boy, oh boy, your feet will not hit the ground before you're on a training course, let me tell you. And the next thing you know, you're going to be walking into the sandbox over there playing all sorts of reindeer games with people mildly pissed off with the death toll. Okay, which, believe me, is significant. We'll be getting into that a little bit later in the show. Now, do you want to join the Army? Okay, I'm all for service, okay, public service. I'm all for that, if you want to do that, all right? But there's so many different ways to serve. If you have another option, would the Army be my first choice? Let me say that again. If you have another option, would the Army be my first choice? The answer right now would probably be no, it wouldn't be. Okay, but again, I'm going off of a couple of paragraphs. It sounds like you got a buddy there. I know who your buddy is. Your buddy's not stupid. Okay, you should listen to him because he's probably not dumb. All right, and listen to what he's got to say. Now, if you got no other options, and that is your only option, and you don't want to wind up sitting there and stagnating, rotting out in some, you know, wage slave job, I mean, yeah, you may have to bite the bullet and that'll be the course you go. But if you're going to do that, I would go Air Force. You know, that would be probably good. Get yourself a trade. Go with a trade. Don't go with a, like, there's lots of cool Team Cool Guy stuff with the Special Forces, learning how to kill people and all the rest of it. But unless you do 20 years in the Army doing just that, there's not a lot of civilian application for all that good Team Cool Guy Special Forces stuff. Unless you get out and join, like, you know, Blackwater or any one of these private military contractor companies that are popping up all over the place, you know, to make, you know, $1,000 a day in Iraq, indiscriminately shooting people as you drive down the road. You know, they're the new SS of America, and you want to ask whether or not you want to be a part of that. It's a dangerous game we're playing right now. I mean, who knows what the new Nuremberg trials are going to be saying? Who knows how history is going to paint the current events with the brush of time? Who knows how that's going to happen? Okay, so I would, if you want to know, do I or do I not join the Army? I don't know what's motivating you. If it's just your motivation, you have a job, you have other options, I would look at your other options to serve. There's lots of opportunity for police. There's lots of opportunity for paramedics. There are lots of opportunity from everything from forest rangers to doctors to nurses to even public. Go be a lawyer. The EFF needs some good lawyers, man. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to serve. Don't let yourself get raped by the mindshare concept that you somehow, you know, you're unworthy because you didn't do this. Heinlein's concept was that you had to do public service.
Okay, it didn't mean you had to be in the army. It just meant that you had to do public service. And let's be real, Robert Heinlein, nice guy. Okay, good guy, personal hero, all that good stuff. But, you know, he's just human. He's another monkey, and he had some neat ideas, and he had some not-so-neat ideas. So you got to keep everything in balance, okay? So that's my advice to you. If you got no other options, then yeah, maybe the Army's the way to go. But if you got some other options, you know, I'd think about it. And if you are going to go in the Army, if I was to do it all again, hell yeah, I'd probably, especially in the American Army, baby, I'd be in the Air Force in a minute. Or somewhere I could fly a chopper, because I think choppers are cool. Specifically gunships. I think gunships are very cool. I know, I'm just talking about the evils of, like, bombs and guns and stuff, but come on! Choppers are cool, man! I mean, who can't say that? I mean, come on! Who didn't see Airwolf or Blue Thunder? Of course, yeah, you're all children. Terrible. No, I've got some older people listening to this show. And for those of you who listen to, you know, like, you know what, Blue Thunder, Airwolf, you know, maybe Firebirds, the original Apache Top Gun movie. I mean, those are cool tech, man. Choppers are cool. Choppers are cool. Now, let's discuss. Talking about law enforcement, maybe, you know, law enforcement would be a good option for you because we got some news stories. Let's talk about cattle car news. The cattle car news. That's right. When they round us up and they start moving us into the camps, what do you suppose the method of transport's going to be? That's right. It's going to be cattle cars, or they're going to be semi-rigs loaded with people, or whatever. Because, check this out, a wheelchair-bound woman dies after being shocked with a taser 10 times. Now, I'm a big fan of the taser. This was sent to me by Sane Trader. Very good story. Big fan of the taser. If I had stock right now, if I was going to buy money, I'd put my money in taser, because believe you me, there's going to be a lot more of this kind of stuff. A Clay County woman's family said it's seeking justice after the loved one died shortly after being shocked 10 times with taser guns during a confrontation with police. The family of 56-year-old Emily Delafield said it would have taken the Green Grove Springs Police Department to court, according to WJXT-TV report. In April of 2006, officers with the police department said they were called to a disturbance at a home in the 400 block of Harrison Street just before 5 p.m. In a 911 call made to the Green Grove Springs, Delafield can be heard telling a dispatcher that she believed she was in danger. Dispatcher says, "What's the problem? My sister is waiting for me on my property. Your sister is on my property trying to harm me." Officer said they arrived to find Delafield, this woman, in a wheelchair, armed with two knives and a hammer. Now, see, this is where things start to get a bit funny. She's got two knives and a hammer. So how is she in a wheelchair holding two knives and a hammer? She's got one of them in her teeth. Police said the woman was swinging the weapons at family members and police. So she's in a wheelchair, swinging around knives. Within an hour of her call to 911, Delafield, a wheelchair-bound woman, was documented to have a mental illness. Okay, was dead. So here's what happens. Family attorney Rick Alexander said Delafield's death could be prevented, and there are four things that jump out at him about the case. One, she's in a wheelchair. Two, she's schizophrenic. Three, they're using a taser on a person that's in a wheelchair. And four is that they tasered her 10 times for a period of like 2 minutes. According to the police report, one of the officers used her taser gun. Oh, one of the officers, that's interesting. One of the officers was a female and used her taser gun for a total of 160 seconds, and the other officer discharged his taser gun for a total of no more than 5 seconds. So we got a female and male officer responding. A medical examiner found Delafield died from hypersensitive heart disease, cited the taser gun as a shock as a contributing factor, and report on her death, certifying the medical examiner ruled deaths a homicide. Now, this goes on, talks about it, blah, 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 blah. Police are terrible because of this thing with the taser. Now, it's like this. When you get hit with a taser, it's a 6-second ride, the lightning, okay? 6 seconds is a long time in a fight. 6 seconds is unbelievably long in a fight. Holy cow! The amount of time that 6 seconds gives you in a fight, anyone who's ever played Fear knows that 6 seconds is a hell of a long time. Now, when you hit somebody with a taser for 6 seconds, their muscles are not doing anything. Their muscles are locking up. They're gibbling is what they're doing, so they're not swinging at you. So you got 6 seconds to get a hold of that person's arms. Okay? 6 seconds to get their arms behind their back. Well, what about pass-through? What about pass-back? Okay, you know what? Immediately following the 6-second ride, you can pin them. Bottom line here is that this was done inappropriately. You don't taser somebody 10 times. Who the hell gives somebody like a 60-second ride the lightning rod? Doesn't happen, man. It's a bad idea. You're going to kill people doing that. There's more than enough ways to do this. But here's the problem is that we get this concept that the taser, since it's not only that we can do whatever we want with it. We got some relative feedback about this. Dear Sean, just a couple of things. I just got back from a trip from abroad. I got married in Scotland, spent 5 weeks with a new wife backpacking around the UK, Netherlands, and a bit of Germany. I'd like to ratify the statement you share sometimes. It is vitally important that people travel. I think everyone should make a point of getting out of their country once in a while, at least once every 10 years, to open your mind back up to the world beyond the reality that filters into your lifestyle, your prejudice, your media, place on your existence. Secondly, this was my first time beyond the UK, and I wholeheartedly agree with you that it's important to go to the concentration camps and see them for yourself. Yes, it makes things more visceral. Yes, it drives them deeper than the History Channel. But actually being there and seeing the body pits and the furnaces does something a bit subtle and curdling to those obvious things. They are cold, looming reminders that there's nothing stopping these things from happening again but the determination of humans who stand vigilant and educate and remind others of this fact. Anyway, regarding recent stuff, tasers. Now, this, believe it or not, tasers and death camps are not so far removed. Never forget that the fences of Auschwitz were electrified. No doubt you've already heard about the kid who got tased at the John Kerry thing. Yes, this is making the rounds on the internet, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. Buddy gets up, starts asking questions. The security guards get a hold of him, and oh yeah, catches the taser. I watched the video. It seemed to me that the police are starting to use tasers as pacifiers rather than explicitly for their own self-protection. Ah ha ha. As in, it is not exactly a replacement for a gun, but for making things simple. The kid has three or more cops on him. Now, I don't know if those were actually cops or if they were, university security. But they couldn't keep him down. So out comes the taser. Whatever happened to the pressure points, joint locks, or worst case, baton choke? Well, I'd rather have the taser than the baton because the baton, you can actually, kill people and stuff. The cops I used to know used all these things as effective restraint techniques. On the other hand, the 3 seconds the kid spent saying, no, no, don't tase me, would probably have been better spent going limp and being submissive since the fight was basically lost. You know what I mean? Lesson learned, pick your battles, don't fight with the bug zapper. It occurs to me that we all know what to do when someone points a gun at you. You stop. Perhaps TV has spent too much time making tasers funny, and our collective common sense hasn't gotten the point yet. When we see it coming equals hurt. And much love, Skillet Audio. And congratulations, Skillet Audio, on getting married in Scotland. Very good for you. Hopefully you will not crank out 3 kids in 7 years and begin to resent your wife. That would be bad. Remember, it's all important about to, live focused, blah, 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 blah. Be good to her. She may be the only one who looks after you when you're old. So this is the problem. We got this whole taser thing. Tasers are getting out of control. Tasers are getting, they're getting pretty buck wild with them. Zapper, zapper, zapper. Nail anybody that steps out of line. And, let's remember where the taser comes from. It comes from the handy-dandy device known as a cattle prod. A cattle prod. Moo. I see the cattle cars calling my name. And where are they going to concentration camps? And where do we get the ideas of the concentration camps? Well, originally they all came from Britain, I think. But in concentration camp news from Trebu, last story is from Saint Trainer as well. Both the stories were amazing. Now, check this out. This is absolutely staggering, this story here. Motorists in Colorado are expressing outrage over a weekend stunt in Gilpin County, an hour's drive west of Denver, where highway checkpoints were set up so a private organization could ask for samples of blood and saliva. I don't think they're authorized to do what they're doing. And I view it as a gross violation of law enforcement protocol, Robert Sequeira, 51, told reporters of the Denver Post. Now, notice they said you can ask for it. But it's a little bit interesting when the cops ask you to do things versus when a private guy asks you to do stuff. He said that he and his wife were detained for about 15 minutes even after they protested. They wanted to get home because of a sleepy child they had in their car. Sheriff's officials were apologizing after they helped set up and run 5 separate checkpoints over the weekend. They said workers of the Institute for Research and Evaluation were overly persistent in their demands of innocent travelers. Give us your blood. It was like a telemarketer that you couldn't hang up on, Undersheriff John Bam told the newspaper. Sergeant Bob Ernie said the deputy's assistance to the organizations involved, stopping motorists at the sites along Colorado Highway 119 for surveys on drug or alcohol use. Surveyors also requested that motorists submit to breath, blood, and saliva tests. We're going to hit you with this needle. No, you're fucking not. Ernie said several hundred motorists were tested, and some later complained. Well, yeah. Sequeira said he repeatedly asked if the questions were law enforcement, asked if the questioners were law enforcement officials, and he said that he was not interested in participating in the study, but still was not given clearance to leave. He told the newspaper that he and his family were approached by two researchers, and even after his repeated refusals, officials offered his wife, who was driving, $100 to get the couple to take part in the breath test. I think it's very dangerous, he told the newspaper. Sometimes at checkpoints, unfortunate things happen. Well, yeah, all you got to do is look at the old Russian system and all the checkpoints and, you know, them forcing your wife to give, you know, the guards blowjobs. You know, these things happen. Pyre spokeswoman Michael Blackston, Michelle Blackston, told WND the deputies did not stop any drivers. It was a voluntary survey. Nobody approached them. There were signs saying the survey was taking place. Nobody waved them down. She said she was unaware whether the private organization reimbursed the county for the expense of having the deputies at the traffic sites. The organization's own researchers get the results of the work, she says. Also, the newspaper, Pyre officials defended their action, saying they said much statistics are important to gauge the impact of laws and an enforcement policy. Blah, 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 blah. Bottom line, though, you got to look at this and say, hey, wait a minute. Hold it now. Why is there law enforcement helping some private pharmaceutical or research firm taking blood and saliva from everyday people? That's just insane. That is totally, totally insane. And why is it insane? Here's the problem. Mission creep. This is the idea. They call it an Americanism, which describes what happens when, over time, powers or techniques are used to ends not stated or even imagined when they were devised. I think that mission creep with tasers is going to get out of control. How far is it before they say, hey, you got to give us our blood and urine sample or we'll tase you until we drip it out of you? You know, I mean, this is part of the problem here. The mission creep of, the capabilities that some of the tasers give is something that we have to monitor. In the recommended media this week, I've got some interesting footage from Waco, Texas, where, you know, Psycho Boy Bob there, David Koresh, and his little Mud Hut, you know, cult following there, they all got burned to death by the cops. Now, I'm not going to debate with you how crazy David Koresh was or whether or not he was a piece of crap, okay? But there were children in there, okay? There were people in there who were victims. And I think the way it was handled by the police was pretty unprofessional. I think perhaps, you know, if one cop had just dropped his kit and walked in there and said, hey, guys, you know what? This is kind of crazy. Why don't we just stop this right now? Everybody put on white T-shirts. Walk out with your hands above your head. And we'll get you guys gone, okay? We'll get you home. Because this is nuts, okay? What's going on here is absolutely crazy, and you should check it out. This is the problem with mission creep. When you have people running around unregulated, without any kind of checks and balances, wielding military-style might with choppers and gunships and stuff like this, like law enforcement has coming in, and now with the Posse Comitatus Act kind of out the window, this can get a little bit sketchy. What's watching the watchers? Got to be careful with that stuff. Very, very creepy. Very, very creepy. Now, let's get away from the domestic stuff because, I mean, this is something that, you know, is pertinent. But we also, you know, there's lots of people starting to rear their head. We saw Russia. They were detonating the bomb that, thankfully, the propaganda machine was a little bit, they got a little bit excited there, calling it more powerful than megaton nuclear weapons. That's fine. You know, I mean, I'm glad that their bomb isn't as powerful as they thought it was. But, you know, our good friends in China are being kind of scary. And why are they being scary? Well, a top Pentagon official leveled sharp words at China on Wednesday, reacting with some of the most candid and unambiguous language yet to the country's destruction in January of a satellite in space with a ground-launched ballistic missile. What they did was China's got this missile now that they can use to shoot down satellites. Kind of freaky, freaking everybody out. Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn called the shoot down an egregious act. It's an egregious, yeah, that's right. Called it an egregious act, which is kind of great when people use words that nobody uses in regular conversations, because that way you can kind of alter their meaning. You can bet that that was chosen very, very carefully. And said that the Chinese sent a clear message to the United States military and that its aging satellite force is under threat. No, it didn't actually send that message. What it did was it shot down a satellite to show it could do that. Didn't say anything about attacking the United States, but nice try. They were not surprised. We were not surprised. We were shocked, Wynn said September 19th, meeting hosted by the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment, a defense policy think tanks. What was shocking about it was the denial. Was it part of a plan or was it not part of a plan? Wynn wondered. What was shocking about it? Was it part of a plan or was it not part of a plan? That's what was shocking about it. Wynn said the shootdown of a 1990s-era Chinese weather satellite in polar orbit has forced astronauts aboard the International Space Station to avoid debris fields scattered in the intercept, and he concluded that China now claims the space as a legitimate battlefield. Well, I guess they're saying that China, you know, I mean, all they did was shoot down a satellite. They're saying, oh, they could have taken out Mir. Come on, guys. Future enemies want to make sure that you will not want to get involved in a conflict. Future enemies will want to make sure you will not want to get involved in a conflict. This is what Wynn reasoned. Well, yeah, but the United States does this kind of stuff all the time. So this sounds like a lot of saber rattling to me. They can pinprick you. They can threaten you as China has shot down the satellite. Just to tell us you don't think you're safe up there. He said space is not a sanctuary anymore. We got war in space. The Chinese government was silent on the shootdown, and the international condemnation that resulted for weeks after the January 11th hit has been murky on the issue ever since. So the Chinese are like, oh, yeah. Well, we can shoot down satellites because, you know what? It's our weapon. It was our satellite. We shot down our own damn satellite. You can imagine the outcry if they'd nailed somebody else's satellite. Holy shit. In June, the U.S. Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pace said he has not raised the issue with his Chinese counterparts during the meeting in May. Yeah, what are you going to say? Oh, by the way, what up with you shooting down satellites and stuff? A Pentagon report released this summer assessed the Chinese military said that the test was an example of China's pursuit of asymmetric countermeasures to American military prowess. Well, you know, I mean, I can understand why they do that. The test puts at risk the assets of all space-faring nations and poses dangers to human spaceflight due to the creation of an unprecedented amount of debris. Well, I think you might be stretching with that, too. That sounds even more like you're trying to whip people into a frenzy. The report stated the Direct Ascent ASAT system is one component of a multidimensional program to generate the capability to deny others access to outer space. So the Chinese are going to claim space, they're saying. Wynn's comments are some of the strongest yet from a senior Pentagon official and indicate how seriously the military considers Chinese anti-satellite weapons development. Americans' increased reliance on space-borne assets to guide weapons, conduct long-range communications, and keep all seeing eye on potential enemies could become the Pentagon's Achilles heel in a future conflict, many analysts fear. Well, yeah, if you put all your bases on the GPS and all of a sudden your batteries run out, then what you do? Then you fuck. That's what happens. I mean, you know, we know this. And in SS news, getting back with the cattle car concept, Baghdad. The Iraqi government announced Monday it was ordering Blackwater USA security firm that protects U.S. diplomats to leave the country after it said it was a fatal shooting of 8 Iraqi civilians following a car bomb attack against a State Department convoy. The order by the Interior Ministry, if carried out, would deal a severe blow to U.S. government operations in Iraq by stripping diplomats, engineers, reconstruction officials, and others of their security protection. Now, Blackwater, in order to join Blackwater and get deployed overseas, you either have to do a series of their own courses or you can be brought in for close protection work after serving in the American military doing a lot of go-fast, team-cool-guy spec ops kind of stuff. If you got further service, They pay pretty good money, and essentially, they're corporate mercenaries. All kinds of books written about these guys. During Katrina, these guys just thought it up and did it, where they started driving around and taking away people's weapons. Not so great. Not too really crazy about a company that's owned by Halliburton that has its headquarters inside of Saudi Arabia, being, you know, the largest privately run mercenary army on American soil using ex-American soldiers as kind of, you know, the segue. Now, apparently, since then, this has happened. Since this happened, Blackwater is now able to go back on patrols in Iraq. They smoothed it over, I guess. They've smoothed it over. But now, what do you suppose is going to happen with Blackwater if this conflict, you know, doesn't keep going for another 25 years? What's going to happen with these private mercenaries? Where do you suppose they're going to wind up? Do you suppose they're going to wind up coming back to America? Because having a bunch of battle-hardened veterans in your back pocket is pretty handy, especially if you're kind of a crazy dictator type. You can do a lot of damage with a bunch of Blackwater guys. And I bet you the first people who admit that would be the Blackwater guys. When these guys get back from Iraq with a head full of snakes after blowing up whatever is in their past, driving around on highways and SUVs, running and gunning as they go, protecting their, you know, high-value traveler and all the rest of it, their high-value friendlies. What's the term for it? The high-value something or other. Anyway, high-value assets, I guess. What do you suppose they're going to do? Do you think they're going to just come back and go back to work being mailmen? Yeah, you suppose they're going to come back here and get a job at Walmart for Veterans Day so they can make a nice commercial out of them? You think that's what's going to happen? No, that is not what's going to happen. They're going to wind up getting involved with more and more Shadowrun type activities. This is the next generation of street samurai right here. And you'll see them. They'll become the corp cops and the spec ops of the future, man. This is where it's going. Now, in Desert War news, I don't know if you've heard this statistic, but it's entirely possible because nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about this. When those responsible for the American war in Iraq face a public reckoning for their colossal crimes, for the weekend of September 15th, 16th of 2007 will be an important piece of evidence against them. On Friday, September 14th, there was a brief press report of a scientific survey by the British polling organization ORB, which resulted in an estimate of a certain number of violent deaths in Iraq since the U.S. invasion. Now, since the U.S. invasion, if you don't know the number, take a guess at what the number of Iraqi dead is, you know? I mean, you got to think about this, because what do we got, like 30, 40,000 American dead right now, something like that? So, you know, you average, you know, say 10 to 1, you know, maybe 300,000, 400,000 Iraqi dead. That's a lot of Iraqi dead, man. That is a lot of Iraqi dead. That's huge numbers, okay, to have that many numbers. But no. What it is 1.2 million Iraqi dead. 1.2 million, okay? That's not a war. That's genocide, okay? Like, what are you doing? 1.2 million? Good Lord. The staggering figure demonstrates two political facts. Number one, the American war in Iraq has produced a humanitarian catastrophe of historic proportions, where death total is already higher than in Rwanda in 1994. Mind you, Rwanda happened in about like 30 days. Okay, they did a lot of damage very, very quickly. Okay, and actually, they were butchering people far more fast. The Rwandan crisis sort of stands alone in savagery because they kill people with machetes, picks, and hoes. Those arguments, and number two, those arguing against a U.S. withdrawal on the grounds that it would lead to civil war, even genocide, are deliberately concealing the fact that such a bloodbath is already taking place with the U.S. military in control. Now, this is kind of an angled news report. The link is there. But if that survey is correct, and there are 1.2 million dead in Iraq, this bears some reckoning. All right? Now, I'd like to end this off with a little bit of positive news and off-world news. Now, this is kind of cool. In Tustin, California, as of September 7th of 2007, an amplified photon thruster that could potentially shorten the trips to Mars from 6 months to a week has reportedly attracted the attention of the aerospace agencies and contractors. What's this? A photon thruster? Young Bay, founder of the Bay Institute in Tustin, California, first demonstrated his photonic laser thruster, PLT, which he built with off-the-shelf components in December. The demonstration produced a photon thrust of 35, I think it's newtons, not sure, don't speak Greek, and is scalable to achieve such greater thrust for future space missions, the Institute said. Applications include highly precise satellite formation flying, configuring for building large synthetic apertures in space for Earth or space observations, precision contaminant-free spacecraft docking operations, and propelling spacecraft to unprecedented speeds, faster than 100 kilometers a second. This is the tip of the iceberg, Bay said in a statement from the Institute. PLT has immense potential for the aerospace industry. For example, PLT-powered spacecraft could transit the 100 million kilometers to Mars in less than a week. How cool is that? Is it too good to be true? Sounds that way. I'd want to see more scientific evidence before I start, you know, booking my next flight or hooking this up to my power armor. But hey, I'm all for photon thrusters. Hey, why not? Wait for it. It's time for us to start getting a little more focus. And who's going to go to Mars, really? Why would we go there? Well, we would. And why would we go? Because of WOG-based news. An orbiting spacecraft has found evidence of what looks like seven caves on the slopes of a Martian volcano. Awesome. That's where we set up shop. Why go down there and build a structure when you can go live in caves? Hey, man. 20 million cavemen, can't be wrong. The Mars Odyssey spacecraft has sent back images of very dark, nearly circular features, what appears to be opening to underground spaces. I think it'd be fantastic if we sent a rover in there and then a giant tunnel spider ate them. That would be awesome. They are cooler than surrounding surfaces in the day and warmer at night, said Glenn Cushing of the U.S. Geological Survey Astrology Team at Northern Arizona University. Their thermal behavior is not as steady as large caves on Earth that often maintain a fairly constant temperature, but it is consistent with these being deep holes in the ground. The holes, which researchers have nicknamed the Seven Sisters, are at some of the highest altitudes on the planet, on a volcano named Arcia Mons near Mars' tallest mountain. The researchers have reported in the local geophysical research letters. Yeah, we don't know. They could be caves. They could be caves. They could just be big holes. Somewhere on Mars, caves might provide a protected niche for the past or current life or shelter for humans in the future, but apparently not these caves. So caves are an interesting concept on an alien planet. And after all, you know, if you're going to go there and sort of set up shop, you're going to need some kind of shelter. Today's Daily Hack. Hello there, Sean. Listening to your last show gave me an idea. Instead of a UAV, make a WAV, a WOG autonomous vehicle. Building a home UAV isn't too hard and has some cool possibilities. For my senior project, it took an RC airplane and mounted a camera with a wireless transmitter and then made an airplane fly by joystick control. The limits are range of the transmission and the amount of fuel, but I'm hoping to build a bigger model that has more range and flight time. I have designed a launcher, an impact detonation system, a lighter piezoelectric clicker, and so on. When it hits, there's a spark in the black powder. For crater makers, 12-gram CO2 canisters filled with black powder. I've not tried these out yet due to me worrying of getting caught and a classified person as a person to watch, but going to remain person with the message. Yeah, making bombers fit on your UAV, kind of scary. It's fairly easy to make a relative simple UAV for approximately 1K to 5K. Well, maybe for you if you've got an extra 5K kicking around. And there's a link to the video he made. This is the video that Buddy actually made. Very, very cool. He put some music to it and stuff like that. And there it is. Cobra made it. It's up there. I think it's probably one of the best daily hacks I've ever seen. Don't put weapons on it. That's just stupid. Let's just use this thing for surveillance. Maybe I'd probably put some NVGs on here and stuff like that. And you could use it to go investigate things that are pretty hard to get to on foot. Got a bunch of awesome recommended media for you today. But that's all I got. Check out the recommended media. Very, very cool. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the WOGs Who Care. And if you can donate, please do so. But if you can't, distribute this program, give it away to people, broadcast it on shortwave, give it to somebody to broadcast on shortwave so that, you know, we can get the message out, try to share free information. If you can donate, please do so by going to the Dark Atlas website and click on the Donate tab in the top right hot link, or send a cleverly disguised envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12156C, 56th Street, Delta, British Columbia, Canada, V4M, to M4. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for the assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at Newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, hey, get into Psytrance, because it is some pretty cool stuff. And I'm going to fade out now with a track that I, you know, this is just fantastic, from MC Frontalot, called It's Pitch Dark. Remember, everyone, you will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. We have to find reasons to get along and get on the same page. So until next time, everyone, that's what Server said. End of line.
You are likely to be eaten. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seemed particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torch or a match in your inventory. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seemed particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torch or a match in your inventory. It got narrated at you in the second person. Every time you put it up, it seems you got another version of your life told to you by a status line blinking. The impossible people you could be without thinking. Yourself insane of personality problems, with a mop on a dropship or trying to stab a goblin that don't play. In public life, you get arrested. Psychoactive medication daily in your big intestine. And the testing that the voices in your head sent the dwarf shot first. Embedded arrow, then you bled for doctors with needles. Posit repeatedly that you knocked down that midget in the park unneededly. This has seeded the idea that you should never venture from the house, never get misunderstood by the non-player characters inhabiting Earth. None of whom are too concerned about Norton Bird. Not one of whom ever aimed a fish around the room, trying to get it in the ear canal because doom be set. The last planet they were on or near the verge of a set of poetics they wouldn't hear. Never peered at the clues with invisible ink. No SM goddesses ever gave them pause to think. Never piloted six robots, each distinct. Don't matter how many 2 liters they drink, they're not going to follow what you're saying at all. They impute and appall in the scope of their gall. As you hide in your room in disgust with the lights turned out, turn them on in a turn, leave a mark for now. You are likely to be eaten. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seemed particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torch or a match in your inventory. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seemed particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torch or a match in your inventory. Read a pamphlet in my mailbox that urges low cunning. Offers cursor and font type running. You're running and parses what you tell it. Pronouns intact, abbreviations if you need them. Better keep it grammatic. Better punctuate your sentences and never redact the name of anything ambiguous. You're about to get asked. You meet the red one, the round one, the crooked or the blue. Better keep that in your pocket. Don't know yet what it could do. Could be the spray for the groove. Gonna need it if it is a situation that reloads, restarts, or quits. Wonder how many points out of how many points you gotta get before you're done. Endeavor then to rejoice when you wish more ardently. Identity's shed for continuance. The rhyme forever voyaging, fled from all lights and colors, from all smells and sounds. Just a lyric on the monochrome display, and you're proud to make another verse appear. By solving riddles, if you didn't have to sleep, you know you'd never seek a quiddle. You'd be ever in the middle, in the midst of a quest. If it wasn't for dawn, the gown, you'd never get dressed. In your underwear typing, just like front keyboard attached up to my fingers. Wrists bear the brunt as I seek to do stunts and flip through their descriptions. I think I went once to some sands that were Egyptian. Then I retained plane ticket snapshots, receipts. Yet I stand unconvinced that this has happened to me. I wouldn't want to misremember or get confused. Recall a crawling towards a pyramid, appearing over dunes. Recall of entering the thing and descending stairs. Does it descend from there? Adventure to nightmare. Did I battle a snake? Was the treasure intact? Or did the TRS-80 in my brain get hacked? Thanks, Grandpa, for buying it. Now my life's ruined. 22 years later, heads invested, got the ruined, fluent, scissifying, trying to escape. But I can't, cause I'm up and around and awake. You are likely to be eaten. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seemed particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torch or a match in your inventory. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If This predicament seemed particularly cruel. Consider whose fault it could be. Not a torch or a match in your in-bed's marine.
Into the slavering fangs of a lurking groove.